Om Shanti. 23rd October 2018, Tuesday. Today's blessing is, may you become an embodiment of knowledge who recognizes the philosophy of karma and moves along free from any bondage of karma. Some children become forceful. They leave everything or step away from everything, even their bodies. However, because there are karmic accounts of their minds, they are pulled. Their intellects are pulled continually. This becomes a huge obstacle. And so, if you do want to step away from anyone, first of all, have it verified by the instrument source, because this is the part of the philosophy of karma. By breaking away forcefully, the mind is pulled back there again and again. Therefore, become an embodiment of knowledge. Recognize the philosophy of karma and have it verified, and you will easily become free from any bondage of karma. So Baba is describing a very subtle psychological aspect of human personality. Baba is citing the example of some children who become forceful, who leave everything, but karmic accounts pull them. Whatever they give up, the same thing pulls the mind. Because they are forcing themselves forcefully, so the mind is trying to go back to the same thing which they give up. So, suppose a person is there and he has certain object and he realizes that this object is not good and he tries to give this up. But the more he tries to give up, the more he gets attracted to that object. It could be anything. Right from any digital device to any other facility or any person or any relationship. The person, the moment he decides that I want to give up, the force, the attraction increases. Because here some suppression is happening. And whenever there is a suppression or repression, the mind is attracted more and more. The person develops an unusual attraction for the thing. Otherwise, till now it was not attractive as such. But the moment the person resolves that I have to give up, then the attraction increases. So Baba is saying, this becomes a huge obstacle. And Baba is here talking not about objects, but about persons. When you decide that you have to go away from a particular person, Baba is saying, first of all, get it verified by the instrument soul. And because this is the part of philosophy of karma, by breaking away forcefully, the mind is pulled back there again and again. Therefore, it is not the suppression that works, but something else, it is the knowledge. Therefore, become an embodiment of knowledge, recognize the philosophy of karma and have it verified, and you will easily become free from any bondage of karma. There's a beautiful thing which Baba has said about relationships. All the paths of Nivritti Marg, of the path of isolation, all the sannyasis, they have talked against relationships. They have said, give up these relationships. All relationships are useless. What mother, what father, what son, what daughter, what brother, what sister, no one is nobody's. This is all fake. This is all on the surface, superficial, just appearance, mere deception. So all sannyasis have talked on that line. Even if you go in Bible, Christ is saying, when that Peter comes to Christ and he says to him, come and follow me. And Peter says, how can I? Because my father has died, let me go and at least do his funeral and come back. He says, which father you are talking of? What father? What funeral? Do you think that if you don't go, nothing, people are there, they will take care of him? You follow me, let the dead take care of the dead. Because those who are alive, they are also dead. So they will take care of the person who is dead. So give up that. So if you see all the religions, most of the time, they have talked against relationships. Baba has never against a single time talked against relationships. Rather, what he is saying is, relationship is not bad, but bondage is bad. Not sambandh, but bandhan. Relationship is okay. You continue to have all the relationships with everyone, whatever you have, but they should not become bondage. For example, husband and wife is there, their relationship should be through Baba, via Baba. Then that is divine, daivi sambandh. So he is not talking against, there is no negation of relationships here. It is not life negative, but life affirmative. What Baba is talking, this is a very subtle difference. Because if you go to any philosophy, any religion, Eastern, Western, Oriental, Occidental, they all talk, the deep, pure spiritualists, those who are too much into spirituality. I am talking of those people, not the worldly minded, materialistic, temporal people who are lost in the indulgence of the world. I am talking of those spiritualists, those who want to enter into the depth of spirituality. They come to that position where they realize these relationships are bondages. Just throw them away. But Baba has said a very beautiful thing. These relationships are good. Continue to have them, but don't create bondage. Even in the golden age, the deities, they had relationships. There were husbands and wives there. Lakshmi and Narayana, they are not sannyasis. So that is there. But bondage is dangerous. So don't create bondage. And bondage would be created if there is no sword of knowledge. The moment the sword of knowledge goes away, the sword of lust starts. So, this is a very important thing. That's why Baba says, do not step away from anyone. Rather, with the power of knowledge, with the become the embodiment of knowledge, recognize the philosophy of karma and have it verified, and you will become free from any bondage of karma. So, to understand karma philosophy is very important. To understand karma philosophy is very important. There are 12 rules of karma philosophy. 12 rules or 12 laws of karma, which are quite famous. And most of us know about them, but we'll just revise again. The first law of karma, it is known as the great law. It is known as the law of cause and effect. In the simple language, as you sow, so shall you reap. That is the first law of karma. It is known as the great law. I can't. The great law. So, whatever you sow, the same you will reap. Whatever thoughts, whatever emotions, whatever feelings you sow on the soil of this mind, subconscious mind, the same things will come back to you. If there is positivity, positivity will come back to you. If you sow hatred, hatred will come back to you. So everything is a result of cause and effect. Nothing is causeless in this universe. Everything, every happening, every chance happening has a reason. Nothing is happening without a cause. If I am unhappy at this moment, who has sown the seed of unhappiness? I myself. There must be something I have done to sow that seed. If my heart is full of hatred today, there must be something. Look at the mindset of a terrorist. Why he has become terrorist? What propelled him? What goaded him to become a terrorist? He was a nice person, born in well-to-do family, undergoing his education. He had good family circle, and suddenly some disturbance occurred, and suddenly somebody came and some injustice, and suddenly someone of his family is butchered to death in front of his naked eyes. And that horrific event, that harrowing experience, made him to avenge, decide to take revenge. And he thinks, and certainly he joins a gang of people and who train him and who inspire him, and he gets convinced by their philosophy, and one day he takes up the gun and starts shooting everyone. So from where it has come, something has gone. So nothing that is happening is without cause. Everything has a cause, a very deep cause, and that cause is within us, and we have sown that seed. Karan and Parinam, cause and effect. As you sow, so shall you reap. So this is the first law of karma which you should understand. Everyone should understand that all the things that is happening with me, somewhere, sometime back, sometime in the past, they are my own doings, and now they have come back to me. First law of karma. The second law of karma is law of creation. Law of creation. We can create what we want. It's in our hand. If we decide something, it is possible to create. We can create anything, any circumstance. If you want happy circumstance, congenial circumstance, a harmonious relationship, a healthy relationship, a relationship which is not tarnished by jealousy, by pride, by disturbance, by negativity, by grudge, by unhappiness, we can create that. So that is known as law of creation. We are the master creators. We can create what we want. So understand this law. But the thought to create should be very strong. A smoker is there who smokes continuously, and he has created an absolutely unhealthy atmosphere inside the body and outside the body, at the mental platform and at the physical platform and at the social platform, and he is suffering and he is addicted. That is his creation. Now if he wants to get out of this creation, he will have to resolve, a firm resolve, a resolute will, and he will come out of this situation. But it is possible, because we are the creators. So second is the law of creation. The third is law of humility. So first is the great law, cause and effect. The second is the law of creation. Then the third is the law of humility. The law of humility says, you must accept the situation where you are. If situations are absolutely negative, many people don't accept. They deny. They say everything is going on well. Though everything is going on absolutely unwell. If you want to change any situation, the first thing is accept the situation so that you can change. You cannot change straight away. You have to accept. Okay, things are going wrong. I have committed this mistake. and it is definitely my fault. And I recognize it, I realize it, I know that this is my mistake, it is my doing. And I am sorry for it. So when I accept the situation, then I develop the power to change it. Otherwise, I will not be able to change it. So this humility should be there, that ego, skyrocketing ego, that doesn't allow one to accept. So accept, okay, this is what it is. For example, a person A is there, and the 10 people talk against him. They all talk negative against him. And it's very difficult for him to accept that these people definitely, because they do not talk negative in front of him, behind him. And he gets to know about them through third person. Okay, they might be talking. The first thing is accept, okay. Have you ever seen a single person on this planet Earth who is not opposed, who is not criticized? A single prophet, a single religious founder, a single great man, a single saint who walked on this earth and everybody praised him. If 10 people will praise, at least 2 would be there to criticize, to censor, to cast aspersions, to blame, to defame, to do something. They would be there. You see, these politicians and these film actors, do they get affected by what the people say? 100, every day some newspaper, something write against them. They're at least bothered about that. Sometimes people praise and sometimes they don't. So these are the things that keep on happening. So really, the first thing is accept. Yeah, these are there. Okay, it will be there. It's not that every time somebody will keep on praising you only. So accept. Yes. There would be praises and there would be censor. Everything, lives is a vicissitude, ups and downs of everything. The fourth law is the law of growth. The fourth law is the law of growth. All growth is within, and we can outgrow the situations and we can outgrow the circumstances. No circumstance is powerful than me. I am powerful than any other thing in this world. I know my internal growth. I can grow, I can outgrow, I can outsmart each and every situation of this life. Situations are very small, circumstances are very small. I am big, I am bigger. And the growth, the real growth is actually internal growth. It is not the external, it is the internal. And it is the spiritual which is happening within us. And only we are aware of it. What I was yesterday and what I am today and what I would be day after tomorrow. This is all my creation, and that internal growth, if I want, I can make it possible. It is my resolve, it is my desire, it is my will, it is my inner inspiration. If I want, I can grow. If I want, I can stop. The growth is within. And find out what is stunting my growth. What situations, what people, what circumstances, what relationships, what thoughts, what sanskars, what habit, what nature of mine is responsible for this growth retardation. Spiritual dwarfs, you know, dwarfs, midgets, what is making me that midget and not allowing me to grow. So this is known as law of growth. The next is law of responsibility. Take up all responsibility on yourself. Yes, I failed. It is because of my blunder. It's because of my foolishness. It's because of my lack of experience, stupidity, immaturity. And I accept it. Inexperience. So the law of responsibility. I take the responsibility. Accountability is upon me. I am accountable for all this thing that has happened. So the fifth law of karma, is responsibility. The sixth law of karma is connection, law of connections. Everything in life is connected. Small events are connected to bigger events. Yesterday is connected to today and today is connected to tomorrow. What I am today is the result of my thoughts of yesterday. What I would be tomorrow would be the result of my thoughts today. If I continue to have the same thoughts, I am not going to change. Because everything is linked, everything is connected. This entire universe is connected. This entire cosmos is connected. There is one internal link everywhere. Every mind is connected. And in scriptures of Vedanta, they say, there is one universal mind. And these are so many different minds. And they in fact all are connected. Only thing is that the moment the two minds get closely connected, they will realize what is happening. That is known as telepathy. Let me focus on somebody. I focus and I try to understand. I try to get the messages sent by, the signals sent by that soul. So this is, everything is connected. Don't think that things are unconnected, disconnected. Everything in the universe is subtly connected by subtle links. What thoughts I had for that person, the same thought that person will have for me. If I am negative about that person, I am trying to change him. For example, a mother is there who is in Gyan, and her husband is not in Gyan and he drinks. And she wants that he should come in Gyan, and she is merciful, but she also hates him because he drinks. And at the same time, she has good wishes that he should come in Gyan. Will he come? Unless and until that hatred falls down, he is not going to come. She has a strong hatred about him, about his nature, about his irritability, about his binge, about his frivolous lifestyle, about his those spending money impulsively, all those things. So this is known as law of connection. The seventh law of karma is law of focus. Unless and until one gets focus on particular karma, the result would not happen. If you want success, you should be definitely focused. For example, a person wants to give an IAS exam. He has to definitely give up all other things. And he should focus only on his studies. He cannot say that I will do this all services also and I will give an IAS exam also. Not possible. And somebody wants to progress in spirituality very fast. And at the same time he is creating 100 bondages. How can he progress? Whether it is a spiritual progress or material progress, one should be absolutely focused, concentrated, zero in on one particular thing and discard all other things and just focus on one thing. This is known as law of focus. So when one is focused, that time success comes. Success garlands your efforts. So law of focus, that is the seventh law of karma. The eighth law of karma is law of giving or hospitality. Unless and until you give, things will not come back to you. Don't hoard things. Don't keep them. If you want love, give love. If you want praise, you want that everyone should praise me. But I will not praise anybody because if I praise, I will become small. It belittles me. Why should I praise? Let them praise. So, this is not going to happen. So, this is the eighth law of karma. The law says, be hospitable. Praise. Be liberal in praises, in appreciation, art of appreciation. So, this is eighth. Ninth is law of change. Law of change. The same thing will continue. History will repeat itself in the similar manner if I don't decide to change myself. I have to change, then only circumstances will change. And in this Vishwavidyalaya, in this university, the very maxim, the very aphorism, the very main saying is Swaparivartan leads to Vishwaparivartan. This is the main golden, we can say golden rule of this university. So, change. The tenth law of karma, law of here and now. Living in the present. If you are regretting about the past, or if you are worried about the future and constantly thinking and churning and brooding over your past and becoming unhappy and always leading a life of repentance or worry or stress or anxiety, how can you know the present, which is now here? The power of now. The now is here. The now is slipping out of finger and becoming the past. So the 10th law of karma is law of here and now. The 11th law of karma, law of patience. Everything will happen. Have patience. If you are right, don't be impatient. Things will happen. One of the Chinese philosopher, Lao Tse, he says, look at the nature. Nature is not at all in hurry. Look at the river, how nicely it is flowing. Is it in hurry to reach the ocean? Look at the rains, how gracefully they fall from heaven. Are they in hurry to touch the earth? Look at the birds, how they chirp, how they fly. Look at the fishes, the fish, how nicely they swim. In nature, everything is unhurried. Only one creature is always in hurry. Who is that? Man. He is running. He is rushing. He wants something. He wants to catch the train. Have you ever seen any bird running because it is getting late to catch the train? Except in some books like Alice in Wonderland, that rabbit is always in hurry. When Alice sees that rabbit is saying, I'm late. So everything is unhurried. So nicely things are going on. We are hurrying. For example, our train is at 10 o'clock and we are already late. So we make such a hustle, such a scenario we create, and we reach that place somehow, and after reaching that we realize it is half an hour late. Train is half an hour late. I'm not advising to goal to reach late, but the mindset, the hurried mindset, what is happening, the upheaval, hulchal, which is happening within. The last law of karma, 12th, the law of significance and inspiration. This law says your personal contribution leads to the whole contribution. Whatever you contribute, ultimately that will be added to the bigger picture. So, if I add positivity, the entire picture would be positive. So, these are the 12 laws of karma. Karma philosophy has got 12 laws. The first law is Karan and Parinam. The great law. Jaisa karoge, vaisa bharoge. As you sow, so shall you reap. It is known as the great law, the topmost law, the ultimate law of karma. The second law is a law of creation. You can create. A law of rachna. You can create what you want. Happiness, unhappiness, sorrow. For example, this is a day in front of us. Today is 23rd October. Now here, I don't make any powerful thought. And look at what happens to the day. The day would be wasted in all the ordinariness. But if I make some resolve, ki no, today I have to make my yoga chart very strong. I have to revise Murli. I have to study Murli very nicely, thoroughly. I have to spend some time in solitude, in silence, to churn, to cogitate, to reflect, to understand myself. So law of creation. The third law is law of humility. Accept situations. Okay, things are like this. People are like this. I accept them. And accept it with love. The fourth law of creation is law of growth. All growth is possible and all growth is within, internal. Internal metamorphosis is change is within. Transformation is within. The fifth law of karma is law of responsibility. I am responsible for whatever happened. I do not blame. I stop this blame game. How long to play? It is because of him. He is not good. He is not good. This department is not good. That department is not good. Here Baba is saying in today's blessing, ki what you try to do, you try to change that person. If you are in charge, you will try to remove that person. And if you are junior, you will try to go away from that department. Because you can't do anything. What you will do? If you are junior, you can't fight those who are at the helm of authorities. You can't fight with them. So you try to do this, Baba is saying. Don't do that. So, the law of responsibility. Then the sixth law is connection. The law of connection. Everything in the universe is connected with each other. So that is the sixth law. The seventh law is law of focus. You focus on things and the success will come to you. Learn to focus. If you want to achieve something, whether it is material success or any success for that matter. I remember when I was in Mumbai and we were in the hospital, we used to work almost sometimes 16 to 18 hours. 16 to 18 hours in ICU, in wards, in hospital and doing multiple things. Forgetting everything. Just morning Amrit Vela, Murli and after that get drowned in this work. So, any success requires commitment. Without it, it will not come. So, law of focus. Then the eighth law of karma is giving. Give. Hospitality and giving. The ninth law of karma is change. Change yourself. Internal change. Otherwise the same thing will happen. You will keep on following the same route. The tenth law of karma is here and now. Present. Now. Live in this moment. The next law of 11th law of karma is patience. Unhurried. Wait. Things will happen. They also win only who only wait and watch. And the last law of karma is significance and inspiration. Means every small thing contributes to the whole. So these are the 12 laws of karma. Om Shanti.